was this something that at some point you realized this was the life for you, or was it only after? I mean, at what point did you realize that?
Sailing has always been so much a given for me, mostly as a pastime, that I've never questioned it. Professionally, sailing came later, and well, the fact that I have the opportunity, a rare opportunity to do it, is great. I haven't really questioned whether this is what I want to do or not want to do. A project like Draken came along, hopped on it, and, well, we're still sailing.
And you've been with the Draken for a number of years now.
I have been sailing in the Draken since the ship sails itself, from the test sailing in 2012 up until now. And let's see how long. Yeah.
What was the reason that, specifically, that the Draken was built?
The Draken was built as an idea by Sigurd Aase, and he employed 8 Norwegian boat builders, very skilled men, to build him a ship inspired by the sagas, the Gokstad ship of the Oslo Museum, and both Norwegian boat building traditions, which are passed on in the west coast of Norway and very much similar to what the Vikings might have done. And he asked them to build this boat that would actually be a sailing boat that would be seaworthy, and it would be something that could have sailed back then in the Norse times or the Viking Age.
What is the Draken made? What are the materials? What is the wood, and how does it compare to the original materials?
The Draken is made out of oak in its hull. It is German oak. It's about 250 to 300 years old oak, so it's exquisite trees. Thing is that they don't really have this kind of oak much longer or available in Scandinavia, therefore it had to come from Germany. The shape of the roots is very important. They don't go deep in the ground, they spread out, and that makes a very good angle to follow the grain for all the knees of the boat. So everything, there's all these angles that you see on the wood, they're actually following the grain. That is very important for a ship like this, that it needs to hold its strength with a relatively small piece of wood, being so big. The mast is spruce, fir. It's a British Columbia fir. So it's actually from America, but we made it in Scotland after we broke our first mast. So we did not really have much of a choice of tree. We just wanted something strong, sturdy. The yard is spruce. The deck is pine. Spruce as well. And there are some choice pieces here that might be ash, like the oars. They're very bendy and light, but still very flexible and strong. And other small pieces, but that is the main construction of the Draken. Of course, the rig itself is also natural materials. It's all made out of hemp and preserved with pine tar.
We spoke earlier, mentioned again the crossing of the Atlantic and how sailing on the ocean may differ from what you've experienced in the Great Lakes.
Sailing in the lakes and sailing in the North Atlantic are very different beasts altogether. The North Atlantic, we've had the Calendar, sure, but most of it was these big, long waves, strong winds. Anything under 20 knots would have been a rare occurrence. The ocean waves come in many different ways. In the North Atlantic, they were usually very long. It's talking about 4-meter waves, and they're long, and you see the ship go up and up, and then it goes down and down. It's good. When you see the wave coming that is taller than the boat, than the hull of the boat, you're like, just take a breath, and then you see how the ship just takes it up, and there's serpents over it. In the lake, being a landlocked water body, when there's a bit of wind, everything sort of swishes from side to side of the lake and makes this strange 3-direction waves that are very short and destabilizing. Absolutely, a big wave in the lakes is by comparison much shorter and you don't have time to go up the wave and down the wave. So something that is like 6 meter waves in the ocean, you might be able to take that, but in the lakes you want to be nowhere near it.
Can you describe what maybe would have been the most striking and maybe scary experience, or because it was the first time, or it was just what was the most scary time you might have had on the Draken under sail?
I distinctly remember one night watch that we came up on deck and there was no coffee. That was probably the worst night watch we've ever had.
That can happen on land.
Yeah. More seriously, the Labrador Sea was, for me, most of the crew, the hardest part. The North Sea and then the Labrador Sea were tough. Labrador Sea, we had a watch where, night watch, we were going through iceberg fields. We could not see them. We could only see them in the radar. And we were doing 7 knots speed on bare poles. And that means the sail is down. You're doing that with the mast and the hull. You cannot stop. The only thing you can do is avoid. But you can't really see what you're avoiding at the same time. And you're 2 people on the helm because it's so tough and strong. And you need that much muscle.
You can't anticipate what you can't see, I guess.
No, luckily we have modern equipment and always a lookout out there. Every single thing gets reported that we see. And, well, looking back, you think, well, what did we actually go through? When you're there, though, everything becomes, well, this is what I'm doing. I guess I'll just adapt to it and go on with it.
Well, that's what your training is for. I suppose maybe the discipline of your training?
Yeah, we have trained for many years. Since 2012, we've smoothed how we do the maneuvers, getting used to the ship, rebuilding parts of it so it would be seaworthy enough to make this endeavor, of course, in the North Atlantic. And also all of our experience as sailors in other ships, this comes to bear when we're taking a challenge like this. You can step back, and a bit of experience from another ship or something of your life will definitely get you through it, hopefully. And also, the crew that started in the North Atlantic is not the same crew that finished in the North Atlantic. They were the same people. But after this experience, of course, you learn the ship. You learn how to behave, and you have perhaps hardened yourself like a steel in a forge. Just after so many hammer blows, you're something else.
I read that you have... The shelter you have is a tent, and that it houses a certain number, so that I imagine there are areas where their crew is somewhere else, and you have crew inside the tent. Talk about that experience a little bit.
So how it works is that we're working 3 watches, and we were 34 people crossing, and we work in 3 watches, so the watches are divided in... The day is divided in 3. So you work 4 hours and you have 3 8-hours. And then you work 4 hours and you have 3 8-hours non-stop. That is your life on board. So, for example, I would have the 12 to 4 watch, which means I work in the midday and at midnight for 4 hours. That means as well that on deck there is about 11 people working. And the rest are resting. And we're talking about an environment like the North Atlantic. Nobody wants to be outside because it is wet, it is cold. We're talking about 0 degrees Celsius. I don't know how much that is in Fahrenheit, 40. So people will sleep in this tent that houses about 21 people. And if you ever open a can of sardines, please think of us, because that is very much how it was. However, when you're in the North Atlantic, you need the warmth. You know, you're sleeping in your wet clothes to dry them. So it doesn't matter if you're getting cozy. Now in the lakes, that's actually a challenge. We don't want to be in the tent. Everybody's sleeping on deck, trying to find a little shade, and the tent is not the place to be. It's meant to be something to protect you from the cold. And it's very hot right now.
So you're seeing extremes between the two environments?
We're talking about just a month ago crossing the Labrador Sea through iceberg fields, so now in the lakes, stopping in the middle of the lake for a swim. Nobody's putting more than a t-shirt. So yeah, it's amazing how fast people adapt and how distant that all felt. Could have been a year ago.
Yes. Well, from here you're headed to Chicago, and you talked about the Tall Ship Festival. How did mention that schedule? What you're leaving here tonight, and what you're going to do from then?
We're leaving here tonight, and we're going to Chicago. It will take us less than a day to get there. When we get there, we will have an open ship in the Tall Ships Festival. So you go to the Tall Ships Festival, and you have access to all these fantastic ships, like the Niagara, the Pride of Baltimore, the Draken, When and If, and the Galeon, the other foreign ship in this festival, the Spanish Galeon. Yeah, it's attracting all of attention. So we will be a Navy pier, and after a few days, I think it is 5 days, we will move on, most likely to Green Bay. That's also the next stop of the Tall Ships America. That is, of course, our voyage forward all very much depends on the situation with our pilotage and our crowdfunding. That is going so very well, actually. Yeah. Thanks to that, we are here.
I've been following that.
It's amazing to see people come forward like that. When we thought we just had to turn around and go back out of the lakes, we're making it this far.
Talk about the entertainment, the things you might do for fun on board on these long journeys.
On board, life can vary between being extremely harsh and extremely boring. Sometimes both at the same time. But the boring never lasts very long on board. We are a yearly crew, and there's a bunch of instruments, guitars, ukuleles, banjos, clarinet, a war horn that we sound when we come into harbor. So it's all sort of instruments, and people draw, people will sing sometimes, play some board games, and generally just talk, catch up. It's like being a big family. For such a relatively small space and so many people, it's quite curious how easy it is to just go somewhere and have a conversation with somebody, just appreciating that you're not on watch and having that time to still, instead of concentrating steering the ship or being the lookout, you can concentrate on taking up where you are, what you're doing, and what you're doing in this Drakkar Viking ship through the lakes or through wherever.
What about that? Do you really put any limits on your future in sailing, or are you just, is this really something you see as your way of life? And others, and your fellow crew members, do they sort of feel like this is really a lifelong commitment?
When it comes to sailing, it's hard to say when it stops and ends, or most people come back to it one way or another. We have a lot of different backgrounds in this ship. It's one of the most interesting things about this crew. First of all, we have volunteers that sign up from anywhere from 6 weeks to the whole trip. And so people that might not have much sailing experience, or people that might actually have a lot of sailing experience and decide to take their holidays with us. So speaking about them in terms of what they might do in the future is very difficult. They're all a little bohemian, for sure. When it comes to the professional crew, we are people that are usually employed on ships, on sailing ships, most often. So to a certain extent, this is our career. And sailing is something that you can sort of jump in and out of it with relative ease, because it's a skill set that you develop and it stays with you, it stays relevant.
So I imagine since you've learned it early on, especially.
Yeah. You learn sailing early on, you learn to be at sea, but it's something that will stay for you even if you are on land, you go back out and, yeah, you don't lose it. It's almost a way of life.
Talk about where this crew will leave this ship for the winter.
So after we do the lakes and we come back from for our final destination, will be in the lakes. We will make it back out into the sea by the Oswego Canal and the Hudson River into New York and up into Connecticut, where we will leave the ship in Mystic Seaport for the sun for the winter. We will prepare her for the harsh, cold environment where it's actually from the ship, so that's nothing new for it. Actually, the challenge is this heat more than anything. And then it will be part of the Mystic Seaport Museum.